is it every time I bring up my favorite movie or song, y'all call my shit corny? You act like I don't have no taste and no flavor. I'm a Luddite or some bullshit like that. What kind of particular shit is that? It's the shit I like. That's what I like. That's my type of shit. You know? Why don't you know y'all just say something nice?
It's showtime.
Welcome to the Say Something Nice podcast. Film, TV, and music news and discussions from a multicultural point of view, plus reviews of the movies, music, and TV shows that we enjoyed, or otherwise, this past week. Plus, our Say Something Nice Challenge, where we challenge each other to say something nice about the best and worst in pop culture. You can find our show at ssmpodcast.com and also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else podcasts can be found, under Say Something Nice Podcast and under the Say Something Nice Podcast Network. You can also find us on all social media under the handle at SSM Podcast. Oh, Lord. They're doing like some sort of old school.
I see Meryl Streep in the black and white. I was like, what is? Oh, okay. Looking like somebody's auntie.
Yeah,
Tiffany Haddish is on the hunt for her, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
I'm trying to find Meryl Streep.
They were interviewing Tiffany Haddish on the red carpet, and she was like, I need to find, because Michael Strahan was interviewing her, and he was like, I heard that you wanted Meryl Streep to play like your mother or something in one of these movie roles that are upcoming. And she was like, yeah, I'm looking for you, Meryl Streep. And I was like, oh, God.
So apparently...
Don't try to tackle.
So apparently Black Panther has already in Russia, which, you know, Russia doesn't like us right now.
But right.
Dave is already outgrossed Ant-Man, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Justice League, and Wonder Woman in Russia. It's made $12.9 million in opening weekend.
In Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Miracles. Miracles happen every day.
It's
Russia.
Yeah. In Japan, it's the number one non-Japanese movie. It's made $4.2
million. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm so happy.
I was also watching the premieres, like the world premieres in African nations. And I'm telling you, I know we think that we're awesome when it comes to showing out at the theater, when we come to see a theater. Mm-hmm. But you've never seen showing out like actual Africans in Africa going to see a movie.
Right. I guess I should intro the show because I'm already recording because the Oscars are starting and stuff. So, hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Brandon. And welcome to the Say Something Nice podcast. Clap, clap, clap. We are live watching the Oscars. I am here with Ali.
Hello.
And our special guest, Coffee Light and Sweet.
Hi, everybody.
Right. In the final recording, y'all will not hear anything as far as the audio, but I'm piping it through on my end so they can hear it. If anything crazy happens like last year, I might use the clip for that part. Oh boy, last year. I couldn't contain myself. I still remember.
Everybody went to bed. They were like, well, okay, I'll see you at work tomorrow. Okay, good night. All right, I'm just going to log off Twitter. Let me just turn off the TV. Okay, yeah, that's good.
It was actually Twitter that actually warned me, because it was funny, because it was like I turned the thing off because I was like, ah, La La Land won, and non-singing white folks, boo. And so, but then Twitter, and then everybody on Twitter was like, yo, what's happened? What's happened? What's happened? Why are they on stage? What's going on? Right. And so I went back and turned back on again, and I saw what had happened. Yay. And the whole thing about, you know, it's Faye Dunaway's fault. I know we're not supposed to say, oh, you know, because they're presenting this year too. They're presenting Best Picture again this year. They're giving them makeup. White people failing upwards. And it's like, it's her fault because the paper said Emma Stone, La La Land. It didn't say La La Land Best Picture. Like these white people can't read. I'm sorry.
But hold on, Brandon. But Warren Beatty threw Faye under the bus because he had the envelope. He had the card inside the envelope.
Yeah, he looked at it, did a double take.
And he was like, something.
And he handed it to her. Yeah. And she's like, yeah. La La La.
Right.
Yeah, he knew something was amiss.
He set her up.
The intention was, let me give it to Faye because Faye might know what's going on here.
Right, and she just read it. She just looked
and she
like,
read it.
Oh, not only did she just read it, she just read it. And then when she got on stage, she went home and went to bed. Immediately. She missed everything.
She's like, I ain't top of this.
She woke up the next morning. Her sister probably woke her up like Miss Dunaway, Miss Dunaway, Miss Dunaway. All hell done broke loose.
Yeah. But you know the best part, the was it the producer, director of La La Land?
The producer, Jordan Horowitz. He got there. No, Moonlight, y'all what? He held the car. It's funny because in the little car. The vocal in like the what do you call it? The oral history, he says, I did it on purpose. I was hoping that the producers would catch on and get a close up of the car so they could see this wasn't no bullshit. Mm-hmm. We held it up so high that snapped. And little That's producer luckily was like, he told somebody when this shit started going down. Camera 10, follow that card. Don't lose it.
Yes. Yes. He snatched the card and held it up, and camera 10 was like, I'm on it. Yep. I'm on it. I'm on it.
And poor Javante Rose almost had a heart attack live on national TV. He's like, oh, Lord, like Fred Sanford.
But can you imagine? Just, I mean, we're excited that Moonlight won, okay? Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to win, okay? But can you imagine? You're the La La Land crew. You're standing there giving your acceptance speech. Your family's there. Your spouse. Everybody's there.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you feel like this energy around you. It's too many people on the stage. Okay, who's the guy in the headset? Why is he on the stage? Wait a minute.
That's funny. Like,
why is everybody looking confused and kind of, what's going on?
Yeah, like, we lost, by the way.
Man. And then if you're Moonlight crew, you're sitting in the audience going, What's happening?
Herschel, it's so funny. Herschel Ali knew exactly what had happened when the producer ran on stage. He's like, he leaned over to his date or his wife. Was like, I guess we won.
And, you know, and you're sitting there like, do I come up on the stage? What? Do I get all the other people? Okay, do the people on the stage, do you leave the stage?
Right.
This is a live event.
Oh, it's about Black Panther.
Brandon, turn up the volume on for us, please.
Okay.
I'm trying to read his lips.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
It's about women or minorities opening superheroes movies.
Yes, we know.
Reason why he believed that because it was March of last year. Yeah, that is very true. Because Warner Brothers, they underpromoted Wonder Woman severely. Probably would have done as well as Black Panther. They actually had promoted it.
I believe it. The PR machine for Black Panther is out of this world.
Yeah.
They pushed it.
Very much so. Because they're talking about Rachel, I forgot her name, but because she's a cinematographer on Black Panther. She's nominated for Mudbound. She's the first woman, and this is the 90th Oscars. She's the first woman ever nominated for Best Cinematography.
Is that the black woman?
No, she's white. She is white. She is a white woman.
But there's a black woman in Mudbound for screen.
Dee Reese. Dee Reese and her writing partner. But yeah, Dee Reese, she made Pariah and Bessie as well. She's the first black woman to be nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Yeah. She's the second one nominated for writing overall. I didn't have it. Rachel Morrison. The first person who was nominated for Best Writing for a movie was Suzanne DePass from Motown. Because she co-wrote Lady Sings the Blues.
Wow.
For those, you know, I'm sure you know who Suzanne DePass is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the first black woman ever in the history of the Academy to be nominated for writing a screenplay. But it's an adapted screenplay because it was Lady Sings the Blues. It was the life of Billie Holiday based on the
book. I didn't put that together. Oh, wow. Oh, man, I would love for him to win. But I don't think so. If Jordan Peele wins tonight, that would be something.
Well, you're talking about Jordan Peele. He's the first black person to be nominated for writing, directing, and producing his debut film.
Mm-hmm.
He says Trump's called Get Out the best first three quarters of a movie this year. But we can talk about that now. So there's a lot of articles go around because they interview. They always do this. They interview the members of the Academy anonymously. Let me turn this down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And apparently, a lot of people didn't watch Get Out. who were the voting members of the Academy. They're like, some of them were on some, well, you know, it's just a B movie anyway. It's not Oscar worthy, or I felt triggered. Somebody said, well, you know, it's, you know, they tried to put it as a horror movie and everything. But then, you know, when they start talking about it, it was all about race, race, race. They made the whole thing. They tried to play the race card. You stupid person, whoever you are, man, woman, cat, or dog, the movie is about race. They didn't call it. It's not.
The movie was never masquerading as anything else.
Right. It's not. They played the race card. The movie is about race. The whole point of the movie is that it's about white people appropriating black people and using their bodies for forced labor, just in a horror movie context.
But maybe the movie was just so in your face. Like there was, it didn't hide the fact that it was about the dynamics, you know, of race.
Right.
It was right, like, boom, right there in stark relief. There was no way to hide that fact. So.
Yeah, people got triggered by it. Yeah. And because also because there are no good white people in the movie. Every single last white person in the movie is evil.
You're forcing white people to look inward and feel guilt for what, an hour and some minutes?
Right. And that's actually a very brave thing to do in a feature that you want to release wide anyway. There is not every white person in the movie is evil. There's no white savior. You know, the savior is black.
Yeah, it's different. And the fact that it was successful sends a message that may make a lot of people uncomfortable on both sides.
All right. Yeah. So in between stuff, like during commercials and things, what we'll talk about is, so this is, of course, the 90th Oscars, which means that 89 other movies have won Best Picture since then. So I thought we sort of kind of talk about the other movies that have won Best Picture. Even if we haven't seen them, I feel like we have known enough about them to sort of kind of figure out certain movies that maybe time has thought differently of. Maybe if they had a chance to re-vote on them, that maybe they'll pick something different. And, you know, movies that were nominated for Best Picture that didn't win versus the ones that did.
Okay.
But then, like, some of them are maybe a little bit surprising depending upon the year.
So you'll lead us in with the different movies?
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me one second. But y'all... talk about your sex record. I just gotta get my water right quick. I'm sorry. My mouth is dry.
Sure. This is now. Do you, Ali, do you find Kimmel to be funny? What do you think of his sense of humor, like the way he, you know, MCs a show? What do you think?
To be completely honest, I'm not much of a late night movie talk show host, watcher type person. So to me, they all of them merge into one being. And then only when I'm watching one in particular that I recognize the difference. Mm-hmm. So him in particular, I don't care much for.
I try to put myself in his place. What he's doing is it takes so much skill because number one, it's live, so there's no do-overs.
Number two,
you were standing up there for a smooth three and a half hours.
Mm-hmm. With some breaks in between because there are more people to talk, right? But still, you are the MC.
You are the MC. If something goes wrong, like the envelope situation, you got to find a way to just somehow bring it back. You know, people are getting bored. They're not eating, you know, because you got to get into that dress. So you can't really eat a lot. You know, you can't really get up and get a snack. You might be able to go to the bathroom, maybe. People are looking at you like, man, finish. We got to go. And even I know if I'm getting tired and sleepy and bored at home watching this, the people in the audience must be just ready to go. And then there's you on the stage telling jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially if your jokes don't land properly, like if people just...
Right.
If you're one of those comedians where you're known for just making people feel real uncomfortable with their jokes, so it's a lot of people shifting uncomfortably in their chairs,
right?
Because for starters, because they have to sit there for the entire time, and secondly, you're also throwing rocks at them.
Exactly. And I know different people try different gimmicks to stand out, Is that, who's that walking? It looks like Viola Davis. I know that walk.
Viola Davis has her hair pulled back. So let me see who that
is. She's wearing a pink gown.
Yeah, Viola Davis.
Yeah, I know that walk anywhere. She has a very distinctive, whoa, she looks beautiful.
I just remember her from the red carpet because Michael Strahan had to interview her a while ago.
Wow.
Yeah, she came with her husband.
She's something else. She's beautiful. Did you see the sidebar? Did you see the scandal, How to Get Away with Murder?
I didn't see the entire episode. However, because people are amazing, they clipped out some of the best moments of the two of them going at each other.
Yes.
That was everything.
In the hair salon. Yes.
Yes. Oh, the hair salon. With Kerry Washington in the rollers.
And the jumbo roller. Everything was like this, but that's how we do. In the hair salon, it goes down.
Oh, yeah.
The barbershop and the hair salon.
Yeah, there was a huge argument over people debating who won that fight in the hair salon.
Did you see the clip?
Yeah, I saw the clip.
Who do you think won?
Honestly, I still think I think Viola Davis won.
You think Viola won?
I did, because when Kerry Washington, she was the one who had the last word, Kerry Washington.
She had the last word. Right.
However, mm-hmm. The point that Viola Davis made in the hair salon, it's very true, and it still made Kerry Washington kind of pause for a second. Because Kerry Washington, she had to, you know, Olivia had to search for a couple of things. She had to pause. She's like, you know what? Yeah. She got me good, but I got something else for you. And the fact that she used the power that she had, the fact that she had rented out the hair salon and that she basically could command the people there. She used that power to quote unquote win her side of the fight and have the last word in the end. And I don't consider that a win.
Olivia Pope's comeback was very petty. Like she came from a very petty space. Like you don't have money.
All the way on her high horse.
right. But Viola was like, okay, first of all, you're bougie, private school. We're the same. I know women like you. You know, yeah. It was epic though.
Yeah. I had to watch the episode though, because people said this is something that they've been waiting for too long.
Yeah, you got to watch the whole episode. You know, Viola Davis's character in the Supreme Courtroom, she gives a speech of life. She really, and she's standing before these Supreme Court justices, and there's one judge who's like, you know, there's a target on the back of her head and he's going after her. And she has to be very subservient because he's a justice. So you can't mouth off, you know, you have to be cool. And he is throwing it at her.
Oh, so Viola Davis is about to give the award to the...
For Best Supporting Actor. Oh, yeah, I just got that. Supporting
Actor.
Okay, who won?
Sam Rockwell for Billboard Society of Ebbing, Missouri. I kind of wanted Christopher Plummer to win it just because...
Yeah, exactly.
That man reshot an entire picture or all the scenes for a picture in 10 days. After the Kevin Spacey thing broke for the John Paul Getty movie, which I just really forgot. All the Money in the World.
Yeah, that would have been just shade on top of shade.
Whoa. But, oh, well, at least he got nominated.
True.
I'm so mad this white man had a acceptance speech in his pocket typed out in Word on the 8.5x11. It's 8.5x11. You could have got a 6x8 card.
You know, you get up there thinking you're going to be cool, and your brain is like,
yeah, not everybody is articulate. And
no, it's not that he has notes. It's just that the notes are so big.
Like you zoom in on the page, you can read the speech.
Maybe he has a vision impairment. Okay. Listen.
Okay. Maybe he has a vision impairment.
But you know what's worse? You know what's worse? That you won't win. They call your name and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, and you have that.
I totally forgot my speech.
I didn't prepare anything. I didn't think I was going to win. that's nerve wracking.
Yeah. Like Mitt Romney had his speech ready for his acceptance.
Stop.
He did.
He didn't come out. He was like, nope.
Mm-hmm. He's like, gotta recount it. I thought we fixed this. What happened? I'm white. He's black. So he's giving thanks to everybody from the movie. Everybody's like, ooh, they're doing close ups. Not everybody's, they're so happy. Mm-hmm. I have just learned that that's always a prop Oscar because they have to go backstage and they have to inscribe it on your actual Oscar because they don't. Yeah. Nobody knows that you've won until
exactly
the envelope
it's
is
just
open.
Like, it's just like any other kind of like huge sports award.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to win, so they're going to give you just a proxy.
Mm-hmm. I think they showed that one year backstage. There's like the engraver has his own little booth.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like all these celebrities swarming around in their gowns and tuxedos, and he's in the booth and he gets to engrave. Right. So that must be really special.
But yeah, oh, are they going to show a trailer for Mary Poppins Returns tonight, finally?
That's what they said.
Huh. And now, nobody has been able to tell me this, but I want to know, ooh, Issa Rae. I don't know. What are they selling? What is this? What are they selling? Issa Rae is in the commercial. Already gotten all
that. Is it a phone? A camera? No.
I don't know.
I just see people holding phones.
It must be like a Google phone or something. This seems to be an iPhone or a Samsung, might be. Whatever it is, it's a very long commercial.
It is. Samsung.
Okay.
I think this is Disney. Oh, I don't know if you're seeing the same commercials as me in New York.
Let's see. Do what you can. Samsung. Okay.
Yeah, it's.
We're seeing them just, I think, behind a little bit. Oh, yeah. So this is Mary Poppins Returns trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so nobody's been able to tell me this. How does this movie get made? Because P.O. Travers, who wrote the Mary Poppins story, she put in her will that no American company could ever make another movie based on her books ever again.
I heard that.
I guess
so. Maybe
the grandkids just said, fuck it.
Or they wrote some checks and bought out, you know, broke the contract or something.
It might be. Yeah, the money just might have been too good.
When you have a will versus greed, or it could be just, or what if she had put this in the will and then the family fell on some hard times?
Maybe. And they said, how much, you know, name your price. And they all got together and said, okay. And they wrote a number on a piece of paper and slid it across the table.
Yeah.
Disney said, we can do that.
Yeah. I can imagine that the Mary Poppins books don't, like the actual books don't sell as well as like the Disney Mary Poppins stuff does anymore.
Yeah. That's like several generations ago, you know. Yeah. Things are different now. So you have to, gotta zhuzh them up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's gotta pop. Put some technology, some graphics, something in there.
Oh, and a Latino man.
Well, yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, who, of course, you know, is going to do
some spice
job
in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he got to 1930s London, but I guess we'll find out.
For some crazy reason, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought that Ryan Seacrest, don't ask me why. I thought that Ryan Seacrest was hosting the Oscars.
Oh, he hosts the red carpet special on the E channel. That's what was going on because they were saying that they were delaying it because, you know, he's involved in a sexual harassment scandal right now.
Ryan, not you, sir. Everybody's getting snatched.
Everybody's all the darkness is coming to the light.
Oh boy.
All the terrible things that they try to do and hide from people are finding out about it.
Okay, so Ryan Coogler, if you're listening to the Say Something Nice podcast because you love this podcast because it's so wonderful, keep it cool.
Yeah.
Keep it cute.
Don't do it, Ryan.
Cute. Please, we need you.
Do it.
Jordan Peele.
Your wife is a beautiful woman.
You too, Jordan.
Oh, Lord. Is that Lakeith?
Oh, no.
It's Lakeith.
Hilarious. He has the same outfit, too.
Yep.
And the hat.
Gal Gadot, I guess, is the next presenter.
Oh, that was cute. That was cute.
Why is he just walking around at the back? Like, what is he doing?
I because he's in character as the, you know, the guy who was hypnotized.
It's like, go and sit down, bro.
I love the hat.
He mispronounced her name. It's Gal Gadot. He's a Gal Gadot. It's Gal Gadot. She's been correcting people like ever since Wonder Woman came out. And Armie Hammer. Incidentally, they wanted Armie Hammer to play Shazam, Captain Marvel, at one point. He didn't want to do it.
He is working that wine color. Is that velvet? I feel like coming to America. Is that velvet?
I do love velvet.
Look like why he ripped out his grandmother's love seat.
Wow.
Very interesting fashion choice, sir.
Oh yeah.
It's like a smoking jacket.
So this is a makeup and hairstyle. There's only three nominees.
Just three? Wow.
Yeah, just three.
Okay.
Including Wonder.
I think it's going to be Abdul and Victoria? No? Darkest Hour.
It's going to be Darkest. What the New York Times had like a running poll and everybody was voting for Darkest Hour.
Well, the way that they, put all of the makeup on Oldman.
Yep.
He looks like Churchill spat him out. They packed it on.
Yep. His grandkids probably couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah. You know when the dog starts snarling at you. It's pretty good disguise. You think Ruth Carter will be nominated next year for costume?
Absolutely. Think? Absolutely. She's been nominated a bunch of times anyway.
Yeah.
She was nominated for Malcolm X and for Ray.
And the woman who's nominated for cinematography this year, she did Panther, yes?
Yeah, so she'll probably be nominated too next year.
Okay. So we might be in there. Wakanda might. Wakanda at the 91st Oscars.
It'll certainly be nominated for Best Costumes, Best Cinematography, and Best Score. Not sure about maybe Best Song. I'm not, possibly Best Screenplay. And
really?
Possibly that Best Screenplay. Maybe Best Director. I don't know about Best Picture. Best Picture must seem like, because like, you know, it's still a superhero movie, so it's still an uphill. The only two I think that ever nominated, Logan and the Dark Knight. And looking at those movies, you can tell that, you know, they want deep, dark, brooding superhero movies.
Didn't Lord of the Rings, Return of the King?
Yeah, but those aren't considered superhero movies. Those are considered just fantasy films. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, Lord of the Rings won big in 2000.
Yeah, they had like 20 billion people on the stage.
Yep.
It's a huge movie, though.
I don't recognize this movie. They're showing a clip from a black and white movie I don't recognize.
And it's Carl Malden in the back.
I want to know who killed my brother. Eva Marie Saint from On the Waterfront is who it was. I know Eva Marie Saint from North by Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Rita, it looks like Rita Moreno, I think.
Everybody's clapping. Yay, clap, 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 clap.
Be nice, Brandon.
She lost her husband last year. I'm 65 years.
Wow.
So I don't know what she's presenting. Or she's giving like a special design, speech or something.
Costume and design. I think. They're putting it on the.
They're putting it on the envelopes.
Putting it on the.
Hold on.
Outside of the envelope.
Hold on.
And read it.
They ain't playing this year.
Because I'm like, it says costume design on the outside. Big letters. Big letters.
Yeah, especially size for old people to be able to read.
And for the viewing audience. It says costume design. When you open it up, you should read. And the winner for costume design is... I hear you, Academy. They were like, not on my watch.
Yeah, not again. Never again.
You got me once in 89 years.
Yeah. We ain't getting Steve Harvey this time. Steve Harvey was so happy that shit happened to them. He was like, I'm free.
know he was. He's like, look, I jammed up the Miss Universe pageant, but y'all messed up the Oscars. Oscars? I'm good. Thanks. I just, that's clever.
Yeah.
That's perfect. They probably told the people, hold it, just like she's holding it to the camera.
It's funny because like I forgot they said they were going to do something like that. That they were going to think about redesigning like the the presentation of the Oscars. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the design of the cards last year? They put them online so you could actually see what the presenters were looking at, and they were pretty tricky if your eyesight wasn't good.
Perfect. Like the text was really small.
Mm-hmm. And if you were nervous, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Same thing with Steve Harvey. I mean, like, I don't entirely blame him for his mistake because, like, literally it also was a design problem. Like, the way they wrote it, the way they printed on the card was very awkward.
Yeah. But I like what you're doing, Academy.
Yeah.
And they said now that they have a third person. So you have the two PwC folks, the two auditors, and then there's a third person.
Right.
Who's going to make sure the envelopes are good.
Yeah. So Phantom Thread won best costume. I think in my little self-poll, I was said Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Beauty and the Beast? I just said Beauty
and the Beast. Is that Maya Rudolph? She looked different.
So this guy is one. Congratulations to him. This lady's in her purse. That lady's in her purse.
Yes. looking for breath mints. Gotta be careful.
All right.
They've had training.
Yeah.
Brandon, they've had training.
Yep.
You'll see the way they hold up the, when they're making their acceptance speeches, they've been told to hold up the card a particular way. You'll see it.
Yep.
You'll see it.
Mary J's on the stage. Oh, she's going to perform later. Okay. Is she going to sing about crispy chicken and fresh lettuce?
No. She'll never live that down. Ever.
It's Kendu's fault, I'm sure. I actually am sure it's Kendu's fault. I wouldn't have signed that contract.
Man, oh man. I was rooting for them. I was. I said, Mary is happy now. Found a nice guy, and she can, you know, make some nice memories or whatever. Guess not.
Yeah, I guess not, fortunately. All right, so during the commercial, let me turn this down a little bit. So, of course, this is the 90th Academy Awards. So they started way back in, before they used to give awards for like a season. So like fall 1927 to spring 1928. So the first Academy Awards were given in 1928. The nominees were Wings, The Rack, and The Seventh Heaven, and Wings won. If you've seen was The Aviator, you see the making of Wings because Howard Hughes helped produce it.
Mm-hmm. 1927.
Let me make sure that is correct. Or is it just that he was there and saw it? I don't see his name on here. I know for a fact, though, that, he was there and saw it. That's how he got into making movies, Howard Hughes. He didn't work on it, but he saw them making it. It's like the first scene in his biopic, The Aviator. In 1928-29, The Broadway Melody was the winner. The rest of the nominees are movies we don't even know about. The Broadway Melody, though, was like our early sound movie. Like one of the very first musicals ever made. And MGM made a bunch of Broadway melodies in the 30s, 36 and 38. I don't think anybody would contest that one winning. In 1929, 1930, All Quiet on the Western Front won. 1930, 31... Cimarron won from RKO, which is a Western. Yeah, it's Western. The old school movie posters. 1931, 32, Grand Hotel from MGM won. 32, 33, it was Cavalcade. 1934 is where we get into movies that people actually should know about. So that year, It Happened One Night with Claudette Colbert and Clark Gable won from Columbia. Among the other nominees that lost, so there's like, God, it's like 10 of them. I'll just read the ones people know about. So Cleopatra lost, which of course also starred Claudette Colbert because, you know, you gotta have a white woman playing Cleopatra. The Gay Divorcee from RKO also lost. It starred Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. And of course, you know, popularized their pairing. The Thin Man from MGM also lost. And then, of course, also Imitation of Life from Universal lost. This is the original Imitation of Life with Louise Beavers and Claudette Colbert. She was in three movies that got nominated for Best Picture. How about that? Come on, Claudette Colbert. And, of course, with Freddie Washington playing, you know, the light-skinned daughter who tries to pass for white. And this version is Piola, of course. In the color remake, it's Sarah Jane.
Now, which one is the one that everyone likes? Because there's two.
Yeah, the one in color is the one everybody likes.
Okay.
The remake from 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the original one. Because in this one, because Freddie Washington actually was black. In the remake, Susan Conner, she is Jewish and Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, like, she won the part over a whole bunch of actual light skinned black women. Shrug. I don't know how to. That's some kind of thing people did back then, I guess.
Yep.
In 1935, Mutiny on the Bounty won for Best Picture. Is this one the first color one to win, or was Mutiny on the Bounty in black and white still? Mutiny on the Bounty is still in black and white. It is a MGM movie, though. Won 1935. I don't see among the other nominees that lost. Broadway Melody in 1936, David Copperfield, which is one I've seen, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Les Miserables I didn't know that was a movie before it was a movie now. So I guess this is the inspiration for the actual musical. Yeah, so I'll stop there and go back to the awards now that Jimmy Kimmel is back. Incidentally, Jimmy Kimmel hosted last year too. Everybody got their job back. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I have a fire truck going outside my window, so I'm muting. Ha!
It's all right.
The joys of living near a firehouse.
Oh, so you live near the firehouse?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I live near a firehouse. So, you know, it's not so bad, but I don't mind the fire engines, but they come sometimes at the worst time.
3 o'clock
I'm on
in
a
morning.
Conference call, and it's like, no.
Yeah. So Greta Gerwig and Laura Dern, you know, like anti-SJW's two favorite white women. And I mean that as a sort of sarcasm. They hate both of them. You know, Laura Dern's played the captain in Star Wars The Last Jedi. And they hate her so much. You know, they made that edit of Star Wars The Last Jedi, a bootleg that removes her and Princess Leia from the entire movie.
Oh, is that the one, Take Out All the Women, that one?
Yeah.
I've read something like that. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, because they were so upset that, you know, like, in a lot of The Last Jedi is about, you know, women leaders trying to get the men in line. And, you know, you can't have that. I will say, though, that, you know, she triggered me because she, like, until they revealed that she was all, like, she was doing the right thing, I did feel like maybe as part of my problem is being a dude. Like, I felt triggered because she reminded me of one of my old managers because she just, like, why are you doing this? Why are you talking down to me like this and everything? But, you know, sometimes people have the right intentions in mind. So they're giving out awards for best documentary feature right now.
Okay. And this is about to get super political.
Yeah, I don't recognize any of these documentaries this year. Of course, last year, OJ Made in America won, which is weird because that's a TV show. It's a TV series. But because they showed the whole entire thing in the theater in L.A. for 2 weeks, they qualified, they got nominated, and they won. Okay, Strong On, I think, is one that's about mass incarceration.
I'm loving the print on the outside of the envelope.
And the Oscar goes to... Why did it design the stage look like the Fortress of Solitude?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. looks like a Crystal Palace.
Yeah. I have a spec. Christopher Reeve and Marlon Brando to show up. So Icarus ended up winning.
Do you think there will ever come a time when a movie on Hulu will be up for Oscar or Netflix? Well, Netflix has had 13, right?
Yeah, Netflix has had a couple. Yeah, 13 was the only thing with Netflix ones, like they snubbed Beast of No Nation entirely. The Netflix movies become difficult because the Academy is still made up of a lot of, you know, old people who are snobs about that sort of thing. Like, how dare they put
our grandparents are still there, or some grandparents are there.
Yeah.
So.
How dare this movie that was shown only on the internet or on the internet first. They would feel better about it if Netflix released the movies like everybody else does, you know, put it on in the theaters for 3 months and then put it on Netflix after that. They're like, you know, they'll put it in the theater and on Netflix the same day. And that made some people angry because, you know, they feel like it's, you know, it's this whole thing, this railing against the changing atmosphere of streaming services and movies being shown online and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, some of it is Ludditeism, really, is what it is. And now
it was a different time, too. Like back in the 20s, you said 27, 28, 30s, 1930s. Totally different mindset, too. Yeah.
Even in the 80s and 90s, it was different. Yeah. But now all the studios want to start their own Netflix to compete.
Well, they don't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could partner with Netflix, but they want to start their own and keep all their stuff to themselves.
Yep. Because remember when live streaming first came out?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this new thing and people would, you know, didn't know too much about it. It's like, well, how does it work? And what do you mean you can watch shows on your computer? What is that all about? Now it's commonplace.
Real Player and all like that. Oh, here comes Taraji P. Henson.
Look at that dress.
Took your line.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Come on, Taraji.
Whoa. She's giving them leg
and shoulder.
Bosom, shoulder. Okay.
So they're going to, I guess Mary's about to perform her song from Mudbound. Rafia Sadiq.
Taraji's movie didn't do so well, but yeah. Proud Mary.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny about Proud Mary. It's like, maybe because like, That was like a very January sort of a movie that you could tell they didn't put much effort into. Not the writing, not the production, not the directing, and not really the promotion. It was just the fact that it was Taraji. People like her so much that people wanted to go see it.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Mary.
Yeah. She did rap hands on the Oscar stage.
She looks beautiful. Mary does.
Come on, Mary.
Wouldn't it be awesome if she won tonight?
It would be awesome.
But you can never tell. You can never tell.
Mm-mm. I think right now what she needs more than ever is visibility. Because remember, she did report that she was running into financial.
Yeah, there was a story about, you know, the whole thing. Really? Right? Because, you know, because Kendu wants more money. But Mary's like, there ain't no more money because, like, she talks about with Mudbound, her... Because I guess, she's used to a certain lifestyle. Like, she spent more during the production of Mudbound than she made from her salary for it. Because it is a small indie movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, she says that, you know, her finances as of late have become limited. Because now, given her age and her time in the music industry, she's considered a catalog artist.
Right.
You know, even if she's putting out new stuff, she can't go on like a world tour because she's not quite like a Janet. Rihanna or Beyonce.
But like,
So like her touring options are more limited. So like she's bringing in less money.
Wow.
So,
isn't that a strategy? This is going to sound kind of crazy, but if you are paying palimony, the less you make,
that is true.
That sounds like a legal strategy.
The less you make, less you got to pay.
Yeah. Just, you know, It won't be the first time it was done. I'm not saying that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that is one type of strategy.
Yep. This set reminds me of The Wiz Live. Like, just like the screens where the screens are folded together. Reminds me of The Wiz Live. Just taller.
The clouds, right?
Yeah.
The background. Yeah. I want her earrings.
Her earrings are nice. They are really nice. In two parts and everything.
Could wear those when I go grocery shopping.
Turn into spiritual. Get the choir at the back and everything.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that a white man in the front row?
Of course. Of course.
Somebody got a tambourine. I saw a tambourine. Somebody got a tambourine back there. Hold on. Yeah.
I can hear it. I can hear it going off too.
Why is Meryl Streep always yelling at the stage? They could get a new gift for her.
She's a sister girl.
All else is to make memes from it.
Sister Meryl. She's yelling and pointing, just like in the church. Yep. Mm-hmm, she know.
They letting Ansel Elgort come to the Oscars? Okay, that's good. I guess they figure they owe him due to what happened to Baby Driver.
I guess.
That movie was so good.
Remind
Kevin Baby Driver also stars Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Ansel Elgort he plays Baby Driver.
I forgot Spacey was in.
Because that movie was the movie was so good and it was so popular and it's nominated for stuff, but it would have been nominated for more if it had, you know, Kevin Spacey hadn't, you know, when his scandal broke out, if he pretty much tanked that movie's chances of, like, you know, the big awards.
Yeah, well, anything that has to do with him winning an award for anything.
Well, no, I think they tanked.
Well, why would that affect things like
Baby Driver should have been nominated for Best Picture, all other things considered. It is literally one of the most innovative movies I have ever seen.
Right. But if the award involves complimenting him, it has to be scrapped.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But it can still win for things like music, right?
Yeah, it's nominated. Well, not for music, because there are no original songs. But it could be, it's nominated for Best Sound Editing and Best Sound Mixing. And I feel like it deserves to win both of those. But yeah, all the songs are, like, you know, classic records. So it's not going to be winning for any of that stuff.
That doesn't really affect Ansel at all. That doesn't affect him.
Yeah, but I feel like the movie would have been bigger also as well if Kevin Spacey hadn't been.
Well, it's kind of like guilty by proximity, you know, which is unfair.
Yeah, it's very unfair.
Unfair, but.
I think it was Joel Edgerton who's also in the movie who said that Kevin Spacey was a terrible person to work with.
Oh,
that
wow.
That it was like
a
miserable
shoot. Can he ever come back? Will this ever blow up? I mean, I know.
Who, it's Kevin Spacey? Hot.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's done. He's done. I feel like people were waiting on this. They're waiting on somebody to come forward. And when Anthony Rapp finally did, they just wanted to get him out of the paint. Because, I mean, Kevin Spacey literally has raped teenage boys for almost 30 years. Like, and he's assaulted people on the sets. Like, that's why they had to get him off of House of Cards. That's why they fired him and reshot the season. Because they found out when they did the internal investigation, he was actually molesting, like, the drivers and the assistants on the set.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You just never know about these secrets. And they're like, hiding in plain sight.
Right. So I'm literally like... And I know they're doing initiatives now about the whole thing because, you know, they need real, like, human resources. I know it's movies. I know it's creative and everything. But these sets are so big and these productions have involved so many people. They have to have some sort of, like, process in place to protect folks and to keep these things from happening. Because it's like, you know, if it had been, like, a regular job, you know.
Yeah.
I know this happens at regular jobs when it's not reported, but, like, you know, I think people feel empowered. Issa Rae again. I think people feel empowered if they work in, like, a creative field that they can, like, abuse people and treat them any sort of way because it's not, like, quote-unquote regular work.
Yeah, the environment is not as structured in a particular way.
Right. Because everybody's, like, on contract and things like that. But it still affects people when, you know, when they get hurt. What is this a commercial for? It's a commercial full of, like, women of all sorts.
Yeah, it looked like a commercial to fight harassment. They had a lot of hashtags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sponsored by Twitter. Yeah. Okay, here we are.
Okay, but here's the other thing, too, Brandon. We've seen before how white folks, particularly white men, they seem to get into trouble, big trouble. And then they go into hiding for years, and then they come back out on the a couple of years later.
His name is Mel Gibson, Ali. You can say
I was going to say Mel Gibson went underground for... How many years did he go underground?
Ten exactly. Because like
this won't work. This won't work in this case.
It won't work in this case. And it shouldn't work with him. Because like he's trying to make Passion of the Christ part two. He should be anywhere near anything having to do with Jesus.
But what he did was he had like this tirade, right? Like he just went a meltdown of some sort, right?
He had like multiple ones, but the one that ended was the one where he left the message on his ex-wife's account about, you know, being raped by a pack of N-words.
Right.
You know, like,
that's horrible too.
Yeah. I don't think you can come back from that one. I'm sorry, because it's like, it's literally like, how can a black person go to the set of Mel Gibson movie and take instruction from him? Because it's literally like,
yeah.
What did that? I've heard what you think of me.
There you go.
There's nobody rehabilitation is going to fix that.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, he's still here.
Yeah.
Right.
How come we didn't get rid of him? What's going on here? What's the deal?
Right.
And how is this? Oh, and how is this Kevin Spacey thing any different?
Yeah, I don't want Kevin Spacey to come back in 10 years. I really don't want that to happen. He's rich enough. He should go somewhere and just be lucky if he doesn't end up in jail. And just stay away from us.
He's had a full career. He's not like starting out in the business.
Right.
Where, you know, he has nothing, quote, to fall back on.
Right.
I'm not making excuses, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah, right. He can go someplace and not come back and not try to come back. They are showing a lot of clips from a lot of my favorite movies. I saw The Aviator. I saw Hugo in here. Abbott and Costello. Dreamgirls. Eddie Murphy. Mr. Tibbs. In the Heat of the Night.
Yep.
Star Wars, Austin Powers, Forrest Gump, and the Fantastic Mr. Fox, Independence Day, and they showed Straight Outta Compton earlier.
Silence of the Lambs. My God. I'm a few frames
Psycho. In
front of you.
The Color Purple is coming up.
True.
Yeah, Miss Sophia.
There's Miss Sophia.
Roger Ebert. Oh, movies.
Ooh. I'm not going to tell you what it was because I'm ahead of you guys.
I saw Nosferatu. Lean on Me. Oh, Moonlight. Yep. Selena! Yep. Precious.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. There's a good one coming.
Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings.
Okay. What do all these movies have in common? Why are they showing all this?
The Ten Commandments. I think they're all nominated for Oscars. For multiple Oscars. Most of them. Some of them are winners.
That's a good one.
Ooh. Gone with the Wind. Yeah, a lot of these are Oscar nominees. Multiple Oscar nominees or winners. Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, I was going to say
Malcolm X. To Kill a Mockingbird. Scout. What else were these?
Oh my goodness, there's a good one coming.
Yeah, Shawshank.
Yep. Oh, my favorite.
Morgan Freeman. Selma. I don't know what shirt to put that picture that was. It was in color. I'm guessing it's a Little Princess.
This is a great montage. they put it in. They put it in, guys. They put Wakanda in. It's coming.
Back
Wakanda
to the Future. Will Smith. And then Thor right behind him. Who knew? Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Who knew? They put Black Panther and Thor right next to each other. Do the right thing. Robin Hood. Iron Man.
Creed's coming.
Creed. And Rocky, right next to each other.
Ali, they got your favorite coming. Your favorite is coming, Ali. Your favorite is coming.
Shaft. My favorite is coming.
Your favorite
Beauty
coming.
And the Beast.
That's it.
The Wizard of Oz. One of them Broadway melodies. A Cabaret. Big. The coming. Sound of Music. Titanic. Toy Story. Aladdin. My favorite Disney movie. Wonder Woman. Yep, the Matrix.
Brandon, Wonder Woman.
the Dark Knight.
Laugh of
wow.
Citizen Kane, North by Northwest, Braveheart, Life of Pi, Jurassic Park, Singing in the Rain. There's too many.
Awesome.
It's so many. What else going to do?
they're showing, so it's not just the winners, they're showing the nominees.
Yeah, they're showing nominees too.
But they put Black Panther in. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's awesome.
They're like, can we get that footage right quick?
Well, $700 billion. So, well, right.
Yeah. It's about to be. It's about to be one of the biggest movies.
$800 million.
As of probably right now, $900 million. It's $897 as of this weekend.
Oh please! I thought that was Harvey Weinstein for a split second. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
There's this close up shot. I got scared.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not him. No, he's not that. He's not that good looking.
I was like, what?
Yep.
That was nice.
So apparently Douglas Fairbanks Sr. was the first. Oh, God. That's a bad joke, though. Christopher Plummer being nominated the first Academy Awards. Oh, dear.
he's like 80.
He's 83. He was almost old enough. He'd been baby Christopher.
Is that Baby Driver?
Yeah, that's Ansel Elgort. And Isaac Gonzalez. I'm not sure where she's from. He's tall.
She's wearing that face. Yellow dress. Okay, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Oh, he's going to present a sound editing award? Really? So he's opened up and he's like, oh, my movie.
I am loving these envelopes. I keep saying it. It's just so funny to see this.
Yeah.
But we understand.
We get it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after they embarrassed my play mama last year. How dare they?
Mm-hmm.
They knew better than that mess.
Now, didn't they fire?
They didn't fire. She decided not to run for re-election. So now a white dude is the president of the Academy. They fired one of the, I think they fired both the accountants from last year. And
did they take them off of Academy duty or did they fire them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. They took them off Academy duty. They still work there.
But that's a nice perk to be able to come to Hollywood. Yep. It's nice.
Let's see. Dunkirk. Oh, God.
Dunkirk wins.
Of course. War movies always win.
I get it. Because, you know, gunshots and firebombs and explosions and things. But Baby Driver. And
think of who votes in the Academy. It's still that same population. Well, they're older now.
They probably fought in World War II. Coffee last week. Mm-hmm. They're like, ooh, that's how it sounded. Check.
Mm-hmm. Now, in order to be Academy member,
you have to be sponsored into the Academy.
Or if you win an Oscar, you leapfrog, right?
If you're winner nominated, you get an open invitation. And you still have to have two sponsors, but otherwise you have to have two sponsors. You're like just regular Joe Blow, you want to be in the Academy, or Jane Blow. You have to be have two sponsors to get you in. They vote on whether or not you get to come in or not. When Cheryl Boone Isaacs, play mama, was the president of the Academy, she sponsored like 1,000 people a year in 2015 and 16 to try to offset. No, 16 and 17, try to offset the Oscars so white thing. A lot of people she brought in were young, you know, young people of color and women. Like, because she was really trying to change the dynamics of the voting population.
So if I win Best Actress, do I still need two sponsors to get in?
You'll probably get in regardless, but you'll probably be assigned two sponsors just for the formality of it.
Oh, okay.
But they're not going to not let you join if you won.
Yeah.
It's just if you didn't win, they're like, who's this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there's only 7,000 people in the Academy. And there was only 5,000 before 2015.
Oh, okay.
Because they brought in record numbers both years.
Well, people will age out. I mean, because it's for life, right? You're in for life.
Well, they changed the rules last year. Oh. It used to be for life, but now it's if you haven't worked in the industry in 10 years, you get put on emeritus, whatever.
Emeritus.
Thank you. I always read it, never pronounce it properly. Status where you're still a member, but you don't get to vote in the Oscars.
What's the point then?
Dunkirk again! I'm gonna throw something.
I told you.
But the point is basically is that you still get to go to like screenings and stuff and you get certain perks, but you don't get to vote. And a lot of people were mad about that. A lot of people who, you know, they, you know, like the older white people, like, who's the really guy mad? White man used to be in all the movies in the 50s. What's his name? Hollywood's heartthrob. Not Rock Hudson, not Troy Donahue, but one of them 50s.
He's still alive?
He is still alive and he is old.
Heartthrob.
It's not Troy Donahue.
Warren Beatty? No.
It's not Warren Beatty. It's not Troy Donahue. I don't think it's Troy Donahue. Let me check. I think Troy Donahue is dead. Whoever it was God, I'm trying to remember who it was. I was really mad about how he was acting the fool over the whole thing.
Well, that's a lot of power, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. You know, your vote adds up to, you know, the biggest night of someone's life.
Yeah. Academy member angry over change rules. I'm gonna see what I'm gonna find it now. It's gonna bother me all night if I don't figure out who it was.
So now you have to be working. You have to be working within 10 years.
Yeah. So once you work every 10 years, you'd be fine.
Well, that's
Tab Hunter. That's who it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that, you know, because if you're still active, you're aware of certain
right,
you know, new things or whatever, innovation.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. You would know about Get Out.
Right. And hopefully actually go watch it.
And you would know about social media and all that stuff. You think the Academy will ever go purely digital? Not now, but is it one day?
Maybe one day. I know right now you have the choice. But I feel like they won't go all digital until we get to a place where, like, you know, like regular voting is all digital, which I don't think we'll ever get there, at least during my lifetime, because I think people are weird like that.
So they do the old school, like put a stamp on it and drop it in the mail?
Some people do. You have the choice of either going online or doing it by mail. You can choose either or.
Oh.
Both get that could be recognized. Interesting.
Well, technology.
D. Reeves directed this commercial. What is this? What is this for? Mary J is playing another evil queen. What are they advertising? What is this? Because it's just that D. Reeves, directed by D. Reeves before it started up.
Something futuristic.
It's like Power Rangers. I don't know what it is.
Don't you remember that this is part of the whole Walmart box?
Tell me about it. What's that? What's the deal with that?
It's a contest.
Oh, okay.
Right, exactly.
Walmart box. Oh, this is adorable. These little black girls pretend to be superheroes and supervillains. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely adorable.
I'm telling you, Black
Panther. What is this, George Jetson? What is this?
Buick, something Buick.
Okay, we've been dreaming of the future a long time. They're showing movie clips and TV clips. They could have showed Justice the movie rather than Justice the TV show. I guess nobody realized that Justice the movie exists. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the theater when it came out when I was 8 years old.
The Jetsons?
The Jetsons the movie. It is not good.
No, it didn't do so well.
No, it didn't do so well at all. Yeah. But I wanted to see it really bad because I love the Jetsons. But it was not a good movie.
I like the jingle, the song. Do-do-do-do.
Let's see what else is going on. Oh, yeah. So back to the former Best Picture winners. Mm-hmm. 1936, The Great Ziegfeld won from MGM. Among movies that lost were A Tale of Two Cities and Romeo and Juliet and Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. 37, The Life of Emile Zola, a movie I've never heard of before, won. The Awful Truth, which I have heard of before, and A Star Is Born and Stage Door all lost. Mm-hmm. 38, You Can't Take It With You from Columbia won. Losing included Pygmalion, the original version of what became My Fair Lady, Jezebel, and Boys Town, and Robin Hood all lost. I'm surprised. They loved the hell out of Robin. I know they made the most money that year. or close. No, Snow White made it most money that year. Robin Hood was second. 1939, Gone with the Wind from David Selznick. Of course,
that was when our girl Miss Hattie won, right?
Yeah, Hattie McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Losing that year was The Wizard of Oz, Wuthering Heights, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, and Of Mice and Men. Of course, you know, that people consider 1939 the pinnacle of classic cinema, like when all the good movies came out, they say.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else lost. It was like really good movies. 1940, Rebecca, also from South.
Once again, I just realized that ABC, what? during their ad campaign between Oscars, they just advertised a new police procedurals.
Why?
And this time we get, it's a Firehouse.
Yeah, that's Shonda Rhimes.
So it's Station 19.
It's a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy. Station 19, yeah.
That's Bailey's husband.
Yeah, Jason George, isn't it?
He's a fireman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Station 19, which is, I guess, is going to compete with NBC's Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Shonda also has the public defenders, the lawyers.
Yeah, I think that's her last show that she's producing for ABC. Okay.
She's going over to Netflix and make that money.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to fulfill her contract.
Yeah.
Her sister is the head of...
Channing Dunhey's sister was a star on the network, on the show with Peggy Carter. What's Peggy Carter's name?
So Channing Dunhey and Shonda are not related?
They might as well have been joining the hip, though, because, like, Channing Dunhey came through the drama department.
All right, everybody, shut it down, Lupita.
Okay.
Shut it down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Cavell, okay. Najimani is my stage name. My actual given name is Chris Pine. That's funny. Haley Atwell is Peggy Carter.
It's glorious.
Kenya's in the house. That's great.
That's right.
Lupita looks awesome though in her dress. Her glasses on. She could walk the runway and solve a mystery on half an hour.
Exactly. Double agent. She probably has like a gun under her gown in the holster.
Yep.
Right. Solve an entire mystery in 24 minutes and 22 seconds.
And stomp the runway.
Yep. I wonder if Winston Duke came to the Oscars this year.
I would love it. Oh my goodness. He's lovely.
So Winston Duke, Ali, I have to say it. So he told everybody, like they asked him what his favorite karaoke song was.
Oh no.
He said, Gloria Estefan, The Rhythm Is Gonna Get You.
Oh my goodness.
Now, Mr. Duke, you go, don't run the women away quite yet.
Whoops.
I told Brandon he could have just said something random like a DMX song.
No, you can't say not, I told you not DMX. That's gonna give you the same problem.
He could have just said something random like a Drake song.
Or Michael Jackson or something. Something like
he said Gloria Estefan. Okay.
I told Brandon, first you have to remember that Gloria Estefan, like you have to remember that she exists. Like she is an entity.
I know that you are not from this country, Ellie, but we remember that Gloria Estefan existed. It's just that we associate her with the '80s and
but
with a certain aesthetic.
How many times did she come up recently to you?
Well, she has a Broadway. I told you she has a Broadway. Well, that's not helping the case. She has a Broadway show.
To a Broadway show.
Well, a certain demographic is paying attention.
Yep.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yep.
What award is this? I just missed what award is this. The Shape of Water one, whatever it is. Best cinematography, I'm guessing? Because I saw Blade Runner clips.
Production design.
Oh, production design. Wait, Blade Runner and Beauty and the Beast both lost at The Shape of Water for production design?
I think this is production design.
Yeah, I just saw the little thing. Who is voting?
I'm telling you, it's the people. 1947. Nobody's listening. Their production design.
No, I get it. But like, how do you look at this? Like, no offense to The Shape of Water, but how do you look at that and then look at Blade Runner and look at Beauty and the Beast and you're like, Shape of Water?
Because Blade Runner was pretty.
Artie, is it because Shape of Water has more practical sets? Is that what this is about?
But Blade Runner was somewhat futuristic.
Is this this man is wearing sneakers on the stage in his tuxedo.
Yeah, that's apparently the cool thing, is the hipster thing to do is to not wear like actual
and sleeves that are too short.
Yeah. He's wearing like Adidas. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's the quote unquote cool thing to do.
He's doing too
much. And he has his sleeves pushed up.
And he's got sunglasses on indoors.
Sunglasses and the short pushed up sleeves.
It's like somebody just mailed him the starter pack for douchebaggery.
It's like, we know you're in a creative field, sir. You know, he's like shoving it. Oh, look at that gown that Lupita's wearing. Goodness gracious.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. Who?
What?
Eugenio Derbez. I don't know this person. Harper, who's man?
Leave him alone.
See the caption of his. Do they not show it?
I want his jacket.
Is he about to introduce Remember Me? Yeah. He's going to introduce, they're going to sing Remember Me from Coco. Ollie, get your tissues.
Wow.
Who's going to sing it, though? Who sings it on the who sings the pop version? What celebrity are they going to bring out to sing this record? Because I don't even bring that little boy out to sing it.
Watch out, they're going to bring up Christina Aguilera for Brandon's sake.
No!
They should bring out, what was the lady that did the anthem that didn't go so well?
Fergie.
They should bring her up. That would do it. Shake it up a little bit.
Oh, they're bringing the people from the movie. Okay, that works. Gael Garcia Bernal. Come on, close caption. I need better pronounces. Miguel and Natalia Lafourcade. Well, Miguel's famous. Yeah, and Miguel's the one who sings the pop version. I was trying to remember who it was. At the end credits.
He looks like, the Latin, Iglesias.
Iglesias.
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't know. A little bit.
Let me tell you who this guy actually is. That is the guy who is the lead on Mozart in the Jungle, an Amazon Prime original series. Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know he was singing. I didn't know he was a singer. In the show, he plays a conductor, an orchestral conductor. I did not know he could actually sing. Oh my God. Wow.
Ali's so happy.
I am really fanboying out here. Wow. Yeah.
Who does he play in the movie? I'm about to look at the cast up right now and see who he plays in the movie. He's the voice of Hector. He's the voice of Hector. Hector.
Oh,
spoilers. I have to mark this. You spoiling Coco for people. Don't spoil Coco, Ali.
who is this black man?
That's Miguel.
Oh. Oops.
The other guy is Gael Garcia Bernal. He's the voice of one of the characters in the movie. But yeah, Miguel is Miguel from the R&B singer. The one.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's half black and half Mexican.
For real? For real?
Yeah.
Oh. The more you know.
This is something like the set in the movie. It is just like the set in the movie. And I won't spoil the opening joke in the movie because that shit had me crying, laughing. When it happened, Ali, the beginning of the movie. The event that sets the plot in motion. Or at least one of the events that sets the plot in motion.
Yeah, I know.
That shit killed me. I did not no pun intended. I was not expecting it at all.
Well, if they want to do it, they have the prop for it.
Yeah, Coco was so good.
I didn't see it. It's gone from theaters, right?
Yeah, it's on DVD and Blu-ray and stuff now. It's very good.
It's still out. Yeah.
Because I know people were talking about when a lot of people gonna get their Black Panther. I was like, y'all already got it. It's called Coco. Go see it. You haven't seen it yet.
I'm waiting for Black Panther to come out on DVD so I can get my director's cut.
Because I'm guessing, I'm sure there's some white voices in Coco, but there are no white characters in Coco. Everybody is Mexican in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's exactly zero Caucasian.
There are zero Caucasian people in that movie. Not nary a one.
See, we got 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's Benjamin Bratt in the audience. He's the voice of what's his name? The star, Ernesto de la Cruz.
Ernesto de la Cruz.
They're doing like low-key Oscars this year, I noticed, with all the performances. Like, they aren't trying to do like, they aren't going like over the top like some of the ones from the years before. They're doing like more low-key performances, which is good. Oh, this is John Legend talk in a commercial with his kids, I guess. Oh, make it, we'll do it. Okay. All right. So back to the
commercials are really good this year.
Oh, they really
like,
are.
It's almost like Super Bowl quality commercials.
Yeah, they're better Super Bowl commercials this year, at least. We left off in 1941. So 1941 Oscars, Hal Griegel's My Valley won. The biggest losers included the Maltese Falcon and Citizen Kane. Now, Citizen Kane, of course, now is considered the most important movie ever made.
Yeah.
In 1941, it was considered an embarrassment because it was a mnemonic of the life of William Randolph Hearst, the, very popular, media mogul from that era. You know, basically, it took his life and made a slightly fictionalized version of it and never became Citizen Kane. So he bullied the other studios into trying to buy the movie and keep it out of theaters, which didn't work. But then when it got to the Oscars, everybody booed it every time it was announced for a nomination.
Wow.
Yeah, it took television for people to be able to safely television and the death of William Randolph Hearst, for people to be able to safely reevaluate it as the masterpiece that it really is. Yeah. I think did it win for best screenplay? I think it won best screenplay, but that's the only one it won because it was shut out of everything else. Yeah, it won for best screenplay, original screenplay.
Mm.
1942, Miss Miniver from MGM won the Oscar. No idea. 1943, Casablanca from Warner Brothers. That, of course, is a movie people know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Looking at Your Kid and all of that. 1944, Going My Way, starring Bing Crosby from Paramount. It's a movie people know. Double Indemnity was one of the ones that lost. 1945, The Lost Weekend from Paramount. I don't know that one, but among the ones that lost was Anchors Away, the movie that stars Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
Kids who, everybody who grew up with cartoons knows that movie as a movie where Gene Kelly tap dance with Jerry Mouse from Tom and Jerry. That's where we know Anchors Away from that clip of, them dancing. And if you are below me and Ali's age, you probably know that clip from Stewie doing it on Family Guy.
Yep.
1946, The Best Years of Our Lives won. Not sure about it. But one among the losers was It's a Wonderful Life. It was nominated but didn't win.
That movie is still making money.
Yes, it is. And the Oscars don't always get it right. 1947, Gentleman's Agreement won. Among the losers was Miracle at 34th Street.
Another one.
Yep.
Every year.
Great Expectations and The Bishop's Wife, which of course became The Preacher's Wife when it was remade with black folks in the 90s. 1948, Hamlet won. And 1949, All the King's Men won. So that gives us through the 40s at least. So... let me open up my Twitter as well so I can see what's going on Twitter. As we're going through all this. Oh, Lord. He's having some sort of a giveaway, Jimmy Kimmel, or a joke giveaway. It had the Price is Right music and everything.
Like a jet ski or something in the very beginning. It was like $18,000 or something.
Yeah.
Green.
Oh, Grace Randolph. With all the Black Panther and Wonder Woman talk, Coco doesn't get enough credit for representing Mexico. Which is what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Rita Moreno. What is this?
That's the Jets and the Sharks.
Oh, okay.
West Side Story.
I heard it. I got a clip. I had to clip my window back open. I love this movie. Is problematic as hell, but I still love it. I love a lot of problematic stuff, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm Manhattan. I know you do. Smoke on your pipe and let that in.
Ah, look at her.
Yeah, she's still on One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time?
One Day at a Time is the remake of the Norman Lear show. It's on Netflix. She plays the grandmother on it.
And she is 80-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
She still got moves.
And still moving.
Yeah, and she's wearing the same dress that she wore back in 1961 or 1962.
When she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress?
Yeah, she's wearing the same dress.
Oh, come on, same dress.
The fact that she can still get in it is like major props, because you know.
Yep, I'm fairly certain she was the first Latin person to win an Oscar. Her and the guy who plays Chino, who was a Cuban, I forget, I think his name was Jose Valdez. I had to look it up. They are the only two actual Latinx people in West Side Story. Everybody else is white people or Italian people in bronzer.
Mm-hmm. True.
That is really sad.
Yeah.
Well, and thankfully, because of today's contemporary social class.
Because we know that Latin people actually exist and they act and can sing and dance, so we can know where to go and hire them to be in a picture like
that.
This
will never happen ever again.
Yeah, because so you know Steven Spielberg.
You can contend yourself with that.
Steven Spielberg, he's remaking West Side Story.
It's
on his plate. Yes.
No, don't do it, Steve.
Actually, if they do it right. I feel like they can. The only thing is they have to do it like the last revival they did on Broadway, where they have to let the Sharks and the other Puerto Rican people, they have to speak Spanish with subtitles.
Okay,
when they're at home and stuff.
Let me ask you this. If when Spielberg does it, is he going to modernize it or just keep it back in the 50s?
I feel like you can't modernize West Side Story. Even when they did the movie, it was still a period piece. It was set in the 50s.
Right.
The movie was made in the early 60s.
If you try to do it like in modern times, it'll look kind of...
It looks silly.
Yeah, it won't... Well...
Because, I mean, they do ballet down New York City streets in the opening scene.
Well, it wouldn't be ballet then. Let's say if they brought it up to, you know, this century, it would be like hip-hop or whatever.
Oh, God, I don't want a hip-hop remix of West Side Story. You know what I mean?
It'd be like a hip hop track, and it'd be like the prep Ivy school people versus the.
I feel like you have to keep the racial angle of it. It has to be white people versus Puerto Rican people. It has to be that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the key themes of the whole thing.
Yeah,
I just feel like they have to make sure they actually cast actual Puerto Rican
people.
That's
gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I don't want them to remix it hip hop format though. Keep the songs the same. Just do them better. Make sure you actually cast actual Latin people and let them speak Spanish with subtitles when they're at home. In the situations where they actually would speak Spanish, let them speak Spanish. Don't have them speaking English because you want us, you know, crazy Americans to not have to struggle and read text on the screen.
I can see it. I can see that then. I thought he was going to like modernize it and bring it up. And
I haven't heard what they're going to do with it yet. They might do that.
Oh,
but I don't want them to.
Mm-hmm. But I could definitely see that.
I want to be in America. Okay, I live in America. I don't. This was a montage. Are these all Best Supporting Actress? Yeah, these are all Best Supporting Actress winners. It's Jennifer Hudson.
Man, it's amazing to see them like so many years ago. It's like, whoa. Especially if they're like elders now. You see them from back when.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Oh, there go Monique and Lupita and Viola, because she's the most recent winner. And Octavia Spencer. These actually are some really good clips. And Catherine Zeta-Jones from Chicago. Because she won. And but I guess Mahershala's going to give the award out. He won last year.
He looks like he lost weight. He looks slimmer.
He does look slimmer. I know he's shooting True Detective season 3 right now.
But he still looks good, though. Okay, so I don't think Mary J. Blige can beat Allison Jenny.
I don't either.
But strange things happen at these award shows.
Yeah.
But I think Allison's got it.
Yeah, Allison Jenny was so good in I, Petunia. Like, she was like the white version of Monique.
That explains a lot, then.
You've never seen a white woman be that ghetto in a movie.
Okay.
I'm telling you, like, people, like, everybody's more similar than they really think they are.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely more alike than we are different.
Let's see what else is going on. If anybody else is saying anything good on here. Everybody's saying already it's going to go to Allison.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's due also because, you know, it's going to be one of those, we should have given you an award a long time ago anyway, so.
Speaking of which, is Denzel's not going to win tonight, right? Because he should have won last year.
I hear they're going to give it to either Gary Oldman what's his name? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, though, is like Roman J. Israel, I hear, is not a good movie.
Wasn't the best movie.
Yeah. But I hear he's good.
He should have won last year. That last year was just a mess.
Casey Affleck. You would never get a performance like Denzel gave in Fences.
I know.
Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water. Ken called her, what did you call her? Sci-fi mammy in this.
Because,
like, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've heard enough from people, like they feel like they need to give her better parts than these. You know, she has to play the support to the white woman all the time. I think people want to see her do her own thing. Allison Janney.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I knew I would. She didn't even look surprised. Yeah.
Oh, but I want her dress. Now I can wear that. That is definitely my style. We got to like kind of sew up the front. Bring up the front a little bit. But everything else.
I think she has hers memorized, it looks like. She's giving an acceptance speech, which is really good acceptance speech.
That's a lot of pressure because you don't want to forget anybody because you only get one shot.
Somebody be the next morning like, so you've got me, huh?
Yeah, pressure. Just make sure you thank your spouse, the Academy, and the producers, and everyone else. Everyone else.
And my assistant will write a blog. Partner. Sorry, I'm sorry. My assistant will write a blog post in the morning. So they let Tiffany Haddish present, but they don't nominate her because she was in the comedy. Okay, so one thing I feel like the Academy needs to do is like there is a bias against, you know, black people.
Hold on.
What happened?
They nominated Bridesmaids one year.
Yeah, they did. Right? Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, not the movie.
I think the movie won the Golden Globe that year, but the Golden Globes have a separate category for comedies and musicals, of course, versus the drama one. But like they are biased against comedies. Anything that's not a drama or a musical has a tough road to get to be nominated for an Oscar. If it's a comedy, if it's a horror movie, if it's a sci-fi movie, it's very difficult for it to be nominated, no matter how good it is. And given how many more sci-fi films are going to be made in Hollywood nowadays, it turns into a thing where the nominees don't reflect the actual best movies that came out that year. They just reflect what, you know, the best indie movies of a certain type.
Okay.
And that really doesn't work anymore. And that's actually, and I feel like that's a big problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actually going to fix it but it's something they need to start looking to fixing, because otherwise it doesn't just turn into a thing where the ratings will go down, but literally, like, if you look back to each year, cause if, like, the ones I just read, like, even if the movies were just nominated and didn't win, at least they were nominated. It's a Wonderful Life and Wizard of Oz. If they were recognized, Citizen Kane in some kind of way. But, like, if you go to, like, the last couple of years for movies for this, it's like only a few of these movies will be recognized in 20 years. Like, Get Out is going to be the only one of the Best Picture nominees, no matter what anybody says, that anybody's going to give a shit about in 20 years. That anybody's teaching film school, anybody's going to mention when they talk about movies from 2016, 2017. Like, in 2016, Moonlight probably will be talked about. Maybe La La Land. Though I do think after people get tired of La La Land if they put it and watch another musical next to it, because how can you watch a musical with people who can't sing and can't dance? How? That's not possible. Why would you do that to yourself? I wouldn't have minded a little auto-tune. I really wouldn't have. Oh, Betty Gabriel came to the Oscars in a very nice green dress. Betty Gabriel played Georgina in Get Out. You know, no,
Georgina, the maid.
No.
How does she look in, like, you know, just regular clothes? Does she look
different? I'll see if I can post this into this chat. I'm not sure how, because, you know, we just started on Zoom a couple of weeks ago. I think
she looked like Auntie in the movie.
She looks like Auntie in real life. I'll tell you that much. let's see if this works.
You're putting it in the chat. Oh, okay, I see it. It popped up. Whoa, she does not look like
not at all.
Oh, no. She looks like babysitter, hot babysitter. She's beautiful. Wow.
Very beautiful.
That gown is
They should have nominated her. I don't know if she won against Allison Janney, but she definitely, listen, that's the thing that everybody talks about from Get Out, was her performance. She cried and she cried and laughed at the same time. Exactly. And she scared the hell out of everybody.
She did. She sure did. Because that's hard to pull
off. It was very hard to pull off. To sort of kind of reflect, like, that the important theme. Like her face held the entire theme of the movie.
It's the internal struggle of what's going on inside your head.
Right.
Like, she couldn't control her brain or whatever was saying one thing, but she was trying to communicate and couldn't do it. And it's
While he's doing his monologue really quickly. So, 1950, all about, oh God, is this 9-year-old Jimmy Kimmel supposed to be coming out here?
Oh no. But that's him at 6.
So they have this kid who came out, for those listening at home, who's supposed to be playing 9-year-old Jimmy Kimmel, and he thinks that he's looking at 60-year-old Jimmy Kimmel instead of 50-year-old Jimmy Kimmel. I didn't know Jimmy Kimmel was that. I thought he was like 40.
I did too. Just had a little baby.
Oh, they're bringing out all the Star Wars people. Is BB-8 actually going to be on the stage?
Yep.
How is this going to work?
It's about.
Oh Lord Jesus, BB-8.
What's going on here?
There's a robot on the stage, y'all. Now, is he CGI or is he actually there?
No, I think he's actually there.
So somebody's got a remote control backstage.
Somebody's got a drone or something back there.
Yeah, because BB-8, yeah, that is completely like practical.
Okay. That is adorable.
Well, this is an animated short film.
So this is the Kobe and Gil Kane have to win.
We shall see.
This award used to be more, I guess, like mainstreamish back when more studios made animated shorts. You know, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Mickey Mouse, and all of that. Now it's almost entirely indie winners and or Pixar. which, you know, is great for the indie people, but like it's just interesting how shift.
Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. Oh my God.
Kobe Bryant thing won.
Glenn Keane and Kobe Bryant won for Dear Basketball, which is short about him quitting the game. Now, funny thing, I said this before, I didn't know Glenn Keane knew who or what a Kobe Bryant even was. Glenn Keane, for those who don't know, was a Disney animator for a very long time in the 90s and 2000s. He animated Beauty and the Beast. He animated the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. He animated Aladdin and Aladdin. He animated...
Kobe Bryant. I forgot how... Never mind.
You know, tall? Oh, yeah. what else did he animate on? He animated Tarzan and Tarzan. He worked at Disney for a long time, then they laid him off. This is the only Oscar I believe he's ever won. Yeah, he's the only Oscar he's ever won. Because all the stuff he did at Disney.
Good in that tux. You gotta go, Mr.
Yep.
Bryant.
And certainly this is the only Oscar Kobe's ever won.
I'm pretty much certain of that.
Yep. This is very bizarre.
I know. I was like, he's not going to win this.
Now, is there going to be a question about Kobe Bryant's past with him winning his Oscar? Considering, you know, he's, you know, that.
Got a little sticky.
Yeah. I'm certain somebody's going to bring that up.
Oh, that's right. Because this was the Me Too and the Time's Up and the, a little sticky a few years back.
You will see what happens with that.
Yeah.
I will say, it's nice to see Glenn Keane win something. Oh, dear God, BB-8.
He's just blooping all over the stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Marie Tran asked Oscar Isaac, how do you know what BB-8 is saying? He said, I'm fluent in Yiddish, which is the most Oscar joke you can imagine.
This is animated feature film.
So, Coco. The Boss Baby. I only got nominated because of Donald Trump. Coco. Which, of course, is going to win because it's Coco.
Ferdinand, maybe.
I'm surprised Ferdinand got nominated.
Mm-hmm.
That looks nice. I should watch that, Loving Vincent. I don't know how I feel about a whole feature that's stylized. He's like, Viva la Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Roll it in there.
That's right.
I'm going to go. Well, I can't go see it. I have to.
Yeah. I noticed that John Lasseter ain't there no more. For obvious reasons.
This time next year, it's going to be ridiculous. I expect to see nominations of Black Panther everywhere.
Yep. So this is Darla K. Anderson, who is a longtime producer at Pixar. She's the lead, like, candidate to replace John Lasseter as the top, as, like, the chief creative officer at Pixar. Mm. I'm assuming it's going to be her.
Oh.
She's the most qualified, certainly. This is the co-director. God, what's this guy's name? I forgot his name. Because Lee Unrich is the director. He's wise as driven snow. the co-director was the one. Adrian Molina is his name. Yeah, Lee Unrich thinks the people of Mexico, because it wouldn't exist, which is very true, because it's very, very deeply based in Mexican culture. You know, Dia de los Muertos and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, white man, we get it. Okay, come on. he's trying to wake up a little bit. I get it.
This is a world audience that you have.
Yep.
For one night, get it out there.
Yep.
Little kid talk too.
That's cool. Little kid. He looks like Coco. What's the boy? Miguel. He looks like Miguel. He really does. But yeah, like he said that, you know, all kids deserve to have characters in movies who look and talk and sound like them, which is very true.
I saw Okoye out in the audience. Did you see her?
Yeah, Danai Gurira.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's going on here. My tweet deck refresh. I don't know what she's talking about.
Whatever it is, she's serious.
Oh, it's a song from Call Me By Your Name, the Moon White, as people have derisively called it. Oh, that's still funny to me.
I'm sorry. I don't know how you can ever make a movie like that sound like
romantic,
like tasteful when you consider the ages of the people, of the characters that are involved. It just,
well, they're trying to say it because the movie is set in Italy, and Italy, a 17-year-old and 24-year-old, it's legal.
Yeah, oh, but
that's that movie that's got people America. Twisted.
Yeah.
You're trying to set it in America, and it's very hard.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been more pushback because of...
There's been some pushback,
but
just
I mean, like,
not enough.
People just, like, outraged, like, you know, just taking it to the streets.
Most people absolutely love this movie. They think it's like the, you know, it's like revolutionary. It's just so, it's so heartwarming and so...
I found that... If they had added two more years and made him 19 instead of 17,
yeah,
it would have given it a different energy.
Right. And why couldn't he be 19? What is so important about the plot of the picture that he had to be 17?
And how old is the other guy? He's
24.
Is coming up.
The other guy is 24, right. But Armie Hammer looks all of 40 years old. I think we're the same age, though. So he's like his mid-30s.
But 19 is too old for a coming of age. It needs to be something like...
Well, the other guy has to be similar. I mean, listen, I know they made that movie many a times with like a guy and a girl, but I didn't make it right either. They should stop doing those movies too, where some 16 or 17-year-old girl falls in love with a grown man. Because it's always a thing where the older person who's already an adult is going to try to control the mind of the younger person. It's never going to be a relationship. Yeah, power dynamic. It's never going to be a relationship that's on parity. It's never going to be a thing. And just like, I don't know. Especially with it coming on the heels of Moonlight and trying to, you know, and they're trying to ask Barry Jenkins and say, oh, this one's good too, right? Right. It's so annoying, really, like the whole thing.
I think that's what they were talking about, like the strength of this young man's acting. Even though he was 17, he was able to pull it off.
Timothée Chalamet is not 17. Like, the actual actor, he is like 19, 20 or something. I'm going to find out right now. I'm looking it up.
So they're saying that he had the weight to make it believable and make it work. He's like, because he's older.
Yeah, he's 22.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Because a true 17-year-old is pretty...
wacky.
Young.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the actor is definitely above. It's just that the character that he's playing, that's the problem. That's the problem that most people, or a lot of people, have.
It's interesting. Oh, there's a firehouse. Sorry. Muting.
Oh, it's fine. Gotta save people. Okay, more Best Picture winners during the commercial. Where's my Windows? Oh, God. All right, 1950, All About Eve, which is a very popular movie. I wouldn't contest that.
Now, have you seen that movie, guys?
I've seen part of it. I know.
You have got to see. Have you seen it, Ali?
I've never seen that movie before.
Classic. This is like backstabbing 101. Get into it.
Yep. 1951, An American in Paris, which is an MGM movie. Among the losers was A Streetcar Named Desire, which, of course, launched the career of Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. 1952, The Greatest Show on Earth won. Among the losers was the original Moulin Rouge and High Noon. 1953, From Here to Eternity won. That's the movie you see with the white people kissing on the beach.
with the water running on top of it.
Yeah. Among the losers, Julius Caesar. I've seen that movie. The Robe. I've seen that movie. The Robe is a movie about the crucifixion. But about the characters around the crucifixion. The crucifixion takes place as like the inciting incident. And Roman Holiday. 1954, On the Waterfront, one. Mm-hmm. All right. 55, it was Marty. Among the Losers was Love is a Many Splendored Thing. 1956, Around the World in 80 Days. Among the Losers were The King and I and the Ten Commandments. They got it wrong that year. They didn't want to get to know anybody. That didn't no get to know you that year. 1957.
And was that King and I with Yul Brynner, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
1957, The Bridge on the River Kwai. I don't know that movie, but I do know 12 Angry Men, which didn't win, and Peyton Place. Yeah, 12 Angry Men is a really good movie.
It's really good.
Yep. And they keep remaking it because that's such a popular. We had to read the play in school, then we saw the movie. Because what's his name is in there? The man who plays the voice of Piglet. What's that man's name? Feeder. Because he just died like recently. He held on for a good long time. Oh, good grief! Where's the list of the characters? John Fiedler is his name. I remember it now, but you know they're not help. Wikipedia's not helping me with the list of the characters who actually play. Oh, wait, no, so here, yeah, here it is. Yeah, John Fiedler. Yeah, he died in 2005. Everybody knows him as the voice of Piglet. Mm-hmm. 1958, Gigi won
among
the Gigi. I guess I've never seen that one.
That's Thanksgiving for Little Girls.
This one, yeah, Malisha, yeah, that's right. Malisha Evaluate, yeah, isn't it? Yes, mm-hmm. It is correct. I haven't seen it. I need to see that.
That song is kind of creepy when you actually like read the lyrics. Thank heaven for little girls.
Oh,
little girls get bigger every day.
Oh God. The Defiant Ones is one of the movies that lost that year.
Oh, that's a great movie.
That's a great movie. Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis, right. And they chained together on the chain.
Chained together.
1959, Ben-Hur won. I'm assuming everybody's seen Ben-Hur at least once because you had to.
Chariot Race.
Yep. Movie's like 18 hours long. Yes. 1960, The Apartment won. Mm-hmm. Psycho did not even get nominated for Best Picture. 1961, West Side Story won. I think everybody's seen that. 1962, Lawrence of Arabia won. Among the nominees that didn't win were The Music Man, Mutiny on the Bounty remake, and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Wow.
1963, Tom Jones won. Among the ones that didn't win, How the West was won. Lilies of the Field, for which Sidney Poitier won Best Actor. Him and the Nuns. And Cleopatra, the Elizabeth Taylor version. In 64, before we go back to the show, My Fair Lady won, and it won over Mary Poppins, Dr. Strangelove, and Zorba the Greek.
I'm going to need that dress she's wearing.
Gina Rodriguez and Tom Holland. Women in the war for best visual effects. Look at Tom Holland just like, and why am I here? I forgot he was British.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of strange.
I thought he was like Peter Parker. And then all of a sudden, special effects.
Get away, all of our British listeners. Okay.
I don't know who's going to win this one.
Sometimes I forget that Idris is British.
Yeah.
I know he's British now, but sometimes when he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, that's right. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, he's British
also
too.
Also British.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he's British.
Letitia Wright, also British.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pew pew, Star Wars.
Star Wars, or I like to call it Space Pew Pews.
Space Tinder.
Oh, I love that movie. War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, Planet of the Apes. And the Oscar goes to... Where the Oracle goes to. Okay, Blade Runner 1-1. That's good.
Blade Runner. Okay.
Okay, they had to win something.
Yep.
Because the movie was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't the best picture, but it sure was pretty.
I really enjoyed Blade Runner. I know Rod and Karen didn't enjoy it. I listened to the review because, like, the movie is long as hell. I will give it that. It is long as shit. It is just shy of 3 hours long.
What?
Yeah, Blade Runner 2049. It is two hours and 49 minutes long.
That's a long movie.
Ali was like, he almost gave out on it.
Yeah. You throw some previews in there, that's 3 hours.
Yep.
They're remaking Logan's Run. Did you hear?
I did hear. And they're it's going to be a female lead instead of a male lead, which is good.
I remember Logan's Run. Yeah. That movie scared the crap out of me. Logan is...
Did you see it before you turned 30?
That's right. Gotta run. And then they would put them all in an arena. And then when you were 29, they would put you like in the center of the arena and like...
And deactivate
you. Evaporate you or something?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Have you ever seen that, Ali? Logan's Run?
No.
It's a movie about it's a society in the future where they basically kill you when you turn 30.
You can't be 30.
Yeah.
And if you decided, and you would have to volunteer your death. Like when you turn 29, you just turn yourself over.
Right.
To be taken out.
Yeah. So it's called
Logan's Run. If you decided to live, you would try to run away.
Right. That's why it's called Logan's Run, because Logan tries to run. Logan's
Run.
Yeah.
Logan is away.
And the people who did that were known as runners.
Yeah.
I got something for you, Ali and Brandon.
What's up?
Do you remember the movie Soylent Green?
I've heard of it.
I've not.
Look it up. Oh my, it'll mess you up. Maybe not look it up. Maybe.
Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
He looks different.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe got some work done, maybe.
Or shaved off all that facial hair because he's not working on like one of those type of movies right now or something. Yeah, he does look very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right, though. He does got work done.
Yeah, just a little tighten up.
Yep. Tighten up. Tighten up. Tighten up. Tighten up.
Now make it mellow. Da, 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 da. That's it.
Ali is like, what are you talking about? It's a record from the 60s called Tighten Up, Ali, by Archie Bell and the Drells.
Hi, my name is Archie Bell, and these are the Drells.
Yeah.
What is it? And we're here to sing for you.
Yep. They're giving the award for best film editing. Ooh, I might want to see The Shape of Water now. So there's a whole lot of action in Fish Tender. And the Oscar goes to Dunkirk.
See?
Dunkirk is winning everything.
Dunkirk, okay. It's the night of Dunkirk.
Oh, Dundare Kirk. Master Commander was nominated for a lot of things that it didn't win. I remember that movie.
I'm going to pick your brain, Brandon, because this is your field of study. This is your field of expertise. A film editor is the person when the entire movie production is done. They actually splice, dice, duct tape, and put the movie together.
Yep. It's more accurate to say they're in charge of doing it. Most film editors do actually edit the work of the movie, but they also have like a whole team of assistants who help, you know, track the footage, log the footage, arrange the footage in certain ways so that the editor to come in and like, you know, make their cuts and everything like that. So it's like the leader of a team more so than usually just like a single person usually.
Mm-hmm.
That they're in charge of shaping the movie. They say the movie gets written 3 times, you know, on the page, on the stage, and then in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in charge of what we finally end up seeing and making the choices and everything, making the director and the studio, the director, producers, and the studio all happy.
So sound editing is what then?
Sound editing basically is where, because there's editing and mixing. Sound editors are the ones who choose like sound effects, like sound effects, literally like both effects on us are recorded and also like, you know, pre-existing effects or like Foley work, things like that, and create those sounds. They create sound. Sound mixers are the ones who, you know, they balance the sounds out, put the movie into, you know, stereo and 5.1 and everything. So that's why they have separate awards. It's two different teams of people.
So the Foley person or Foley team, if someone is walking in the hallway and it echoes, they find the sound that the footsteps walking.
They'll actually usually just have like blocks or have somebody like walking on like a block and record that so they can get this.
That would be considered Foley work?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you go to like a Foley artist studio, there's a whole lot of different weird, like just things in there so they can make certain sounds.
Like a door slamming shut or somebody getting punched in the face.
Right.
Like that kind of thing.
Hidden meat and things like that to make certain sounds.
Wow. There's a whole industry for sound.
Yep. Like, I think, like, the industry leader, of course, is Skywalker Sound from Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm. They're, like, the pinnacle of, like, what people consider, like, great sound effects work.
Okay. I knew you would know. I was like, Brandon knows.
Yeah. So they are showing... Oh, they're showing people who are watching the Oscars at the Chinese Theater across the street. And they're watching on night vision cameras.
Are they sleeping? What are they doing?
I don't know. They're bored.
They look like they're sleeping.
But it's so like blurry. At least on like this SD.
It's like real dim.
Yeah.
See, this is when the Oscars try to get super clever and gimmicky.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it... Remember that year they bought a tour bus in?
It was year before last. Yeah, they bought a tour bus in and everybody was taking pictures on the stage and stuff. So yeah. Are they... Oh, no, he brought Guillermo from his show. They're actually going to go across the street.
Go across the street with the people?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's like, oh, no.
Please let this work. You only get... Are they going to bring Lupita? Are they bringing Lupita? Okay. They need to bring Okoye.
They are bringing up Lupita, yeah. So Armie Hammer's going to join them too. Oh, and Gal Gadot.
Please let this
go. Lin-Manuel Miranda. So everybody's just going to go over there, just walk across the street.
They're just going to walk across the street with flags. Okay.
So I'm guessing that, you know, the Steadicam guy is going to be going with them.
Well.
Oh, they're doing it during the commercial. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. I hope the microphones had that much range. They get over there and he starts gumming and there's no sound coming out. It's coming. They're going to be embarrassed.
I'm sure that they tested this like 1,000 times. Well,
they better.
I hope they did.
I hope so too.